talked about rehearsing things and practicing things, and it was good as a reminder. But then he's been in Israel for a year, and so he shared with us how it was that with Israel they began remembering and practicing, but then they began worshiping what they were practicing. It's a little bit like having faith. You need to have faith, and that's good to have faith. But if you begin to celebrate your faith instead of who you have faith in, you're left alone in a religion. And so that happened to them. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't rehearse things. It should mean that the traditions that we have, that we celebrate, direct us to Jesus. And if they cease to do that, we need to stop the tradition, start another one, or just get rid of it. Doesn't mean you don't have traditions. It just means you realize what it's about. You're always celebrating Jesus this way, that way, that way, this way. I've always celebrated Jesus this way. And if you can do that for 50 years and still love Jesus, that's a good tradition. And you did well with it. But if somewhere down the road you've come to just celebrate the tradition, where you feel obligated to come to church, not, wow, let's go to church to celebrate Jesus, then your tradition has hamstrung you, so to speak. So I'd just like to look at the book of Judges for a minute. We listen to the heart of Deborah, a wife, a mother, a prophetess in Israel, from Judges chapter 5, and it has to do with this whole idea of tradition. Judges is along in here. Just after Joshua. Yes, it is just after Joshua. Judges chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. So here she is, a wife, a mother, a prophet in Israel. Prophetess, she's called. Judges 5, verses 10 and 11. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Yes. She's recounting. They're finding a place, she's recounting. Whether you're walking down a road, you've gone someplace, it doesn't matter, but you're recounting. I used to spend hours in the cab of a truck thinking about Jesus and what he's done in my life, what he's doing in my life. She knew the importance of not forgetting the Lord, and she knew that the best way to remember was to rehearse. People learn through mimicking, through repeating. They rehearse over and over and over again. I don't know how to read music, so when I play music, I have to rehearse it over and over and over again. I play by ear, but my ear doesn't mean I don't have to rehearse. It means I do have to rehearse. So listen to God's word to Moses immediately following the battle against the Amalekites. This is way back in Exodus. Genesis, Exodus is the second book in the Bible. Exodus 17. It's after a battle with the Amalekites. And the Amalekites are a type of the flesh. The flesh can be religious even. I like to call that religious flesh. It's people who protect, who are trusting in their tradition, in their church, and they're not trusting in God. And so here we are in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, so here's an instruction from God to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, and I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. These were people who were in direct conflict with God, and God knew the nth degree to which that was, and that was going to be the end of them. So that's what he said to Moses. Remember this, Moses. This is part of my will. This is part of my activity. You just remember, Moses, that this day is coming. So don't fret about it. Don't let it get you down. This is my promise to you that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So why would the Lord want it rehearsed in Joshua's ears particularly? Well, because there would be times in his life when the fear of battle may tempt him to forget his God. And how do you forget God in battle? You begin trusting in yourself. Your fear drives you to trust yourself instead of trusting in God. Other reminders that were given for Israel's exhortation, you can find them in Exodus. I think they're up there, aren't they? Exodus 10:2, Exodus 24:7, Deuteronomy 31:11, Deuteronomy 31:30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is a song, and its theme is the mighty acts of God. I've mentioned this before, but Maria and I, or what she does, because she picks the song out, but we're in agreement that the music sung in the church should be about God's mighty works, not about a person's faith in God. It's important to have faith, but your faith only causes you to celebrate your God. If you start celebrating your faith, like, well, one song is, I don't even know, it's not really a worship song, but Chris Christopherson wrote it, and it's, "Why Me, Lord? What Have I Ever Done?" You know, why not you? There's nothing more terrible about you than anybody else. So don't try to puck yourself up as though you're some great sinner who had been saved from a lot. We've all been saved from a lot. But the focus is not to be the person. It's to be God and His mighty work. So I think she does a very good job of weeding out and bringing in songs that help to facilitate that. So just as each tribe leader carried a memorial stone out of the river as a reminder of God's love and power. Now we need to go back and let's take a look at Joshua chapter 4. And just read that a bit before I carry on any further my notes. Joshua chapter 4. And just as a, how did we get here? They came down to the river. And Devin reminded us that it was at high water. It was flood time. So the flood river had come up over its banks. You can see that in the Chemainus River. You can see that in the Cowichan River. And you can actually stand in that flood water without being in danger as long as you just go to the edge. And so a bit of flat ground and like a quiet puddle maybe even. And that's where the priests were to put their feet. Go stand in that before the water ever parted. And when they stood in that much water, then the whole river parted and they could go on. And that's how God works in our lives. He calls us to this little thing that scares us that He might do the great thing that's terrifying us. So we must live beyond our fear. Fear is good because it keeps you keen. It helps you to remember. But fear can paralyze you. So we need to keep moving even though you're afraid. Don't wait till you're not afraid to move in God's will. Move in God's will. Make sure it's His will. Check with others. Check with other believers in the body. Don't just check with your best friends. Check with other believers in the body. Maybe one you don't particularly like. You get a more truthful answer. So here we are, Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on its shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." So the ark stayed back, and these guys went before the ark, but the ark had them covered. I love that. So when you're following God, He goes before you, and He comes behind you. So even if it's a time when He's coming behind you, know that you're safe, even though you're in front of Him. If you haven't put yourself in front of God, but He has for a moment, for whatever, you're safe. If you put yourself there, smarten up and get back where you belong. To know the will of God, walking in obedience. So this is what happened. So they picked up a stone and they did that. And that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever to remember what? What God did. Not that 12 men packed 12 stones out of a river, but what God did. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to a place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest bore the ark, stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Everything that the Lord had commanded got done. That's the only thing we have to worry about on any given day, is that God is satisfied with the day. It doesn't matter about your plans, what you have figured you should do or get accomplished. If you get a sense that you've done His will, perfect. So just as each tribe leader carried a memorial stone out of the river as a reminder of God's power and love for His people, so each generation thereafter was responsible to remind their children. Responsible to remind their children. What a child does with it after that is whatever. Denise was wandering in the wilderness for 150 years or whatever it was you were doing that. Not that long. Okay. Long time. But she came back. So one of the iniquities of the father that the Lord visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation was that of forgetting to tell their children about God and His care for them. As a result, they fell into idolatry. You can see that in Exodus 20, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 5, 9. You see, we don't sin and then forget about God. We forget about God and then sin. It's the fear that drives us to it. So another reason to rehearse. Another reason to come to church. I just thought, it got kind of loud in my head, this thought, of why we come to church. And if we come to church just for us, because we feel better, or we like it, or we're getting something from it, that's only half the deal. That's only half of it. The other half is, come to church when you don't feel like it, because every believer in the Cowichan Valley that drives past this road notices that there's people here on Sunday mornings. Well, I don't want to go to church today. It's not about you. God's work is not about you. It's about God. Glory to God in the highest. Sometimes it's hallelujah. But it's not always hallelujah. Sometimes it's good grief. Seriously? Yeah, sometimes it's like that. But stay faithful in the midst of it all. Because the unbelievers are watching. If church becomes something we do only when it's convenient, you will make no disciples. And if you do, they will not be dependable. Because it's just when it's convenient. It's a good thing Jesus didn't come to us just when it was convenient. So Joshua 4:9 suggests that there was another monument set up in the midst of the river. There's been some talk back and forth about that, and it was a different word or a different translation, or they mistranslated it, whatever. But the monument, I was asking Devin about how low the water went in the summer to the river to try to determine whether you'd be able to see this thing. And if it's anything like the Chemainus River or the Cowichan River, yes, you would. And not only that, but you'd be able to see it, but you'd be able to identify that the stones where they camped the first night in Gilgal were of the same making as the stones in the middle of the river. They came from the middle of the river. Otherwise, you could say, oh no, my father just put the stones there, and they say it came from the river. The myth is it came from the river. No, it's not a myth. They came from the river. And so that's why there was the two monuments. Joshua 4, verse 12. And the men of Reuben and the men of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. This was what Joshua had spoken to them in chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, and it was a reminder of what Moses had said to them in Deuteronomy 3:18. They were to live in a responsible relationship to their brethren. A responsible relationship to their brethren. You see, that tribe of Manasseh, they wanted to stay on that side of the river. They found some good ground. And then they promised, well, we'll go over and help you take the promised land. Wasn't just about finding a piece of ground. The people that lived in the promised land, their judgment day had come. They had all kinds of time to respond to God in a proper way, and they didn't do it. It was called the time of the Amorites, and it had been fulfilled. So they said, let us settle here. We'll leave our wives and children back. behind, and they'll start setting up camp, and we'll go with you into battle. And so they did that. And so they stayed faithful to one another, even at the cost of their life. And that's how close fellowships need to be. But if we're just in it for ourselves, they won't be that close. If we're just coming to church for ourselves, they won't be that close. We'll be irritable and cranky because this isn't that, and that isn't this, and where's the that, and where's the... No. It needs to be more like, I think I mentioned it once before here, but John F. Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. But most of the time, if you think about it, when people go looking for a church, they're going looking for what the church can do for them. And they want the church that's this or that or loud or quiet or whatever. But I wonder how much is actually given to, Lord, where would you want me to be that I might glorify you and be useful to you in the furtherance of your kingdom in this world? That's the question to ask. And if you're not there, you're not really serving God anyway. You're just looking for a church that'll make you feel whatever it is you want to feel. Joshua chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You see, it's about all the people of the world. It's not about us. Coming to church is not about us. Hopefully you get well fed here and educated if that needs to be, or you can come to faith here. You can take this to somebody else and make them come to faith. You can do all of that. But that's for the glory of God that other people can see. When I became a believer, you should have heard how many unbelievers were shocked. Of course they were shocked. Have you heard? Wayne got religion. No, I didn't. Jesus got a hold of me. To them, they just described it as religion. Jesus got a hold of me. That's what happened. So the world is watching. They're watching. So remembering is important. Remembering God and His mighty deed is essential. Remembering God and His mighty deeds, that's essential. When you think of Israel as being God's chosen people, please don't think of it as those who have been favored over others. That's not what it's about. There is a grave responsibility that goes with being chosen by God for anything. I mention this often, but it's just such a good reference. Ralph Tevier in Fiddler on the Roof. You know, his horse goes lame, and he's trying to get back and get things done up for the Sabbath, and now he's got to... Anyway, it's just very inconvenient. So he's going along the road, thinking about God, and he says, God, I know that we're your chosen people, but could you not just choose somebody else for a while? In the sufferings and the... But he's trying to show through Ralph Tevier in that situation that God could be trusted, that he would get it done. And sure enough, in spite of that day, he sat down at the table just before the moment it needed to happen, and the Sabbath began. And he was there. I have days like that. I have days when I don't think I can get everything done in time for today. And I have times, quite often I go home at, it's either 5 o'clock or 10 to 5, and everything is done. I'm going, seriously? How did that happen? It happens because God goes before us.